Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, here is the second episode of The Bone Collector, and my name is Patty, and I collect bones, all kinds of bones, but that is a story for another day. Tonight, we're going to talk about one of my most favorite haunted places in the whole entire world, the Bushnell House in Rockport. Well, technically Clarkson, or if you really want to get technical, it's Garland. But anyways, it's on Ridge Road, near the corner of 260 and 104. And currently, it is an antique store called Under the Apple Tree Antiques and Gifts during the day. And at night, it's the Bushnell House, and that's when it really comes alive and all of the cool history takes place. Now, the history of the Bushnell House is just fantastic, and it lends a lot to the basis of the ghost stories and the hauntings. And the fact that it's an antique store really helps to build onto the spiritual activity in the whole building. And I wanted to talk about the history, and I'm going to mix in experiences and ghost stories and, you know, anything and everything I can tell you about the Bushnell House, because you guys, after hearing about this wonderful, wonderful gem, you guys are going to want to come and ghost hunt there, which is allowed, and I will get to that at the end of my podcast. So, the Bushnell House, obviously, is named after the first family that lived there, John and Elvira Bushnell. And John came from Cooeysman on the Hudson River with his family in 1810. And he was only 3 years old when he came out to Clarkson. And his wife, Elvira, was born in Vermont in 1814. So there was a seven-year difference. Not major, because, you know, back then there were huge differences in husband and wife. So if you're familiar with the area at the corner of 260 and 104, and you're going to go east, I want to say almost a mile down the road, that was all owned by the Bushnell family as a whole. So it would have been brothers and sisters and things like brothers of John Bushnell's father. So they had all owned that. And then it was divided up into little lots for the family. So they owned, the Bushnells owned all the property, probably a mile east of the corner. And then it was divided up. John and Elvira got married. And in 1838, they began construction on the house that is there. And it is in two pieces. There is the new section, which is, or the original section, which is two stories. And that would be where the family lived with their kids. They had three children. There's three bedrooms upstairs. And then there's a large room, main room, and then like kitchen area in the back. And then off to the side is the new addition dating to the 1850s. And we know that it's not really much older than, newer than 1850s, is because John himself passed away in 1853. So that left Elvira to be alone with
three children, Charles, Julia, and Mary. Charles was the oldest and Julia was the youngest. And it was very hard back then for women on a farm with smaller children to take care of things after their husbands passed away. To make matters worse, on June 26, 1860, Charles passed away in the house of an illness, followed on August 18, 1860, with the death of his sister, Julia. And that left Elvira home alone because Mary, the middle daughter, she was married and was not living with her family, with her mother. And tragically, she passed away on June 12th, 1865. So within a 12-year span, her entire family was gone, and all that was left was Elvira. And Elvira lived in that house alone until February 8th, 1901. Now, after that, we go into a period of about 30 years where various people lived there coming and going. We don't know who actually lived in the house during those 30 years because all of the homeowners had actually been listed as living out of state. There was one that lived in California. There were owners that lived in the Midwest. So the house was rented. Now, when we get into the ghost stories, I will tell you about what they believe happened during that 30-year time period. And then in the 1930s, Helen Zimmerman married Henry Hudson Parker, and they purchased the house, and they lived there until Henry Hudson Parker passed away. Now, Henry Hudson Parker was a World War I veteran, and he enlisted in the military on June 21st, 1919, and served in Battery C on the 316th Field Artillery. So he saw a lot of action in European theater. And we find that he was on a transport ship, the Aquitania. So I always like to put all of that history in there so that you can understand when we talk about some of the experiences that we've had in the house as far as the hauntings, that you can see where we're coming from. Now, he came back from the war and he got a job as a salesman. And he moved into the house with his wife, Helen, and they had their daughter, Elizabeth, while they lived there. And of course, in many cases, the wife came with her mother. So her mother-in-law, Adelaide Zimmerman, moved in with them, and she died in the house on February 5th, 1948. And then 20 years later, Henry Hudson Parker passed away on September 13th, 1967. And Helen would die In 1982, she moved to Florida, and she died in Florida, and then her daughter lived in California. So we have the Henry Hudson Parker and his wife, and then there was a time where there was a gentleman that lived there named Farmer Joe, which we have not quite found out a lot about it, but Farmer Joe does happen to make his presence known there every so often. And also, after Farmer Joe, the building became a restaurant called the Apple Tree Inn. Fine restaurant. Everybody raved about the food and stuff, and it was a restaurant for quite a long time. And from our understanding, the owner lived upstairs on the second floor, and the restaurant was down on the first floor. And then the restaurant eventually closed and the building was empty for a few years. And then my friend Cheryl purchased it and turned it into Under the Apple Tree Antiques and Gifts and made it into a wonderful antique store. So that's a kind of quick history lesson on the property because, you know, the history lesson, it's important, but I want to be able to get into the ghost stories and the stuff that happens inside the house. Now, like I told you, Elvira passed away in 1901. She lived by herself. And there's a cool little story on how we actually found out about the hauntings of the Bushnell House. Now, everybody knows that I've been writing books about local history and ghost stories for a while. And it was not too long after I met Cheryl, we became close friends, that I received a phone call from her. And she had always thought, you know, wouldn't it be neat if there were ghosts in here? Though she said she had never felt anything or experienced anything. And I received a phone call from her, and she says, "You're not going to believe what just happened." I'm like, "What?" She goes, "One of the waitresses from the restaurant came in and she was shopping and she said, so I guess you already know about the ghost." And of course Cheryl goes, "No, what ghost?" And she says, "Well, there's a ghost in the building." And if anybody's been into the antique store, in the one of the rooms in the original portion of the house, there's these two huge almost floor to ceiling cabinets with drawers and shelving and stuff. And that's where they would keep, you know, the glasses and the silverware and the linens and stuff. And she said, when the other waitresses and I would be at work and we'd be getting to silverware together, grabbing glasses, we would hear our names whispered in our ear. And the owner's son would be washing dishes in the kitchen and things would fly off the shelf onto the floor. All just different kinds of things, like the silverware would move and the glasses would be moved into different places. And Cheryl says, "Well, by any chance, do you happen to know who this ghost is supposed to be?" And the girl says, "Elvira is her name." And that's all she gave her, the information on the name. Well, Cheryl, when she called me, and she starts laughing, and she says, "Can you believe it? They couldn't even come up with a more original name than Elvira." And, of course, you know, I want to get right down to the nitty-gritty of this whole thing. So, as she's talking to me on the phone, I'm pulling up Find a Grave, and I'm looking up Elvira in the Garland Cemetery, which is probably about 3/4 of a mile to a mile west of the house. And I says, "Well, there's two Elviras buried in the cemetery. And one is Elvira Bushnell, and the other one, I can't remember the name because it's not important." And she says, "Wait a minute, Bushnell." And I said, "Yeah." And she says, "I just picked up some maps from the town and has all the properties marked off, and this one has the property as the owner being E. Bushnell, Elvira Bushnell." I said, "Well, I guess they weren't too far off on their name, were they?" And the funny thing is we didn't know anything about her death at that time because we really hadn't been researching anything because there hadn't been any reason to. And the legend that had been passed down is that Elvira's death was, they said that she had been a lonely woman. She had lived alone in the house for over 40 years, and that she could not take it any longer, and she hung herself in the backyard from an apple tree. Now, there's no indication that she hung herself, but that was the story. In fact, we had found her obituary, and she died. Yes, she died in the backyard, but she didn't hang herself. The woman was almost 90 years old, I would venture to make the assumption that she wasn't strong enough or capable to climb up on any kind of chair, apparatus, or anything to hang herself. I think that she just happened to die of old age. She wasn't young. So that's how the whole journey started with the hauntings of the Bushnell House, was we started with Elvira. And then we found out about her husband, John, passed away in the house, and her son, Charles, passed away in the house, and her daughter, Julia, passed away in the house. So you have four deaths right there. And the more we dug, we found Adelaide Zimmerman passed away in the house, and Henry Hudson Parker. So that was six, and the bodies just kept piling up. And we get to that 30-year time span where we have no idea who passed away in there, who lived there, who could have died there, what happened. And that, once we get through the whole Bushnell story, I will get to some of the other hauntings. But then at the time, we had a lot of mediums coming through, and there was a medium that says that there was a gentleman standing in the doorway to go into one of the front rooms, and he was very angry and very agitated. And he told Cheryl that the man's name was Walter, and he was very upset that the house was being used as a store. And he was very upset that a woman ran the store. And he was very upset that people were coming in and out of this house. But his one main concern was he was very angry that the headstones were missing. And that kind of left us to a little headstones. What headstones? Apparently at one time there had been a cemetery, a family cemetery there, because like I said, that whole property from a mile east of the corner was all owned by the Bushnells. So it would be very logical that they would have their own family cemetery. Now, John and Elvira and Julia and Charles and Mary are all buried in Garland Cemetery. They were never buried anywhere else but the Garland Cemetery. But early on, before that cemetery was incorporated, you had to bury the body somewhere, and it was customary that when you had a large family farm, that is where you would bury them. So we have Walter, who was related to the Bushnells, and we have Elvira. And we've had experiences in the house where there have been children running around, and it could be children from the old cemetery that used to be there, or it could be a younger version of Charles and Julia. We really don't know who the children are. We do tend to think that they are Charles and Julia. Julia was 15 when she passed away. Charles was 25. So it would have been a younger version of him. And Mary was 24 when she passed away. So then we have those spirits. And like I said, it's an antique store. So everybody knows, especially from the ghost hunting shows, that antique stores tend to have objects in them that have spirits attached to them. And there are a couple objects in the store that have spirits attached to them. And one of them is a picture of a beautiful girl named Kitty Woods. And we found this out during an event that we had, and one of my friends who's a medium was there, and she pointed out the picture and said, what is written on the back of that picture? And we took the picture off the wall and looked and said, nothing. Nothing's written on the back of this picture. She says, take the backing off, and what is written on the back of the picture? And the back of the picture was to Ma and Pa, love, Kitty. Now, we did some backtracking and found out where the photo was from and all of that, and found out that it was a photo of Kitty Woods. And Kitty died at the age of 18 of consumption, and she was engaged to be married. And her fiancé was a photographer. And the photo was meant to be a Christmas present to her parents. But it ended up that photo was placed at her funeral. So Kitty died April 27th, 1894. And her parents were Owen and Mary Woods. And Owen passed away on August 7th, 1910, and her mother passed away January 29th, 1910. Now, I'm going to give you a little lay of the land from the antique store. And the first room you walk into is where the register and stuff is. And the second, you would walk into the room that's got a fireplace, and it's decorated with a couch and more like a sitting room. And then you would flow into a smaller room that's at the base of the stairway and the original front door. And then there's another room that has the cabinets that Elvira likes to move the glasses and stuff on when it was a restaurant. And then when you go upstairs, you have a bathroom. You have a room that is full of vintage wedding dresses. So we call that the wedding room. You have the vintage clothing room, and then you have the metaphysical room upstairs, as well as a huge walk-in closet that we will get to in a few moments. Now, Cheryl thought that perhaps Kitty would like to be up in the wedding room, seeing that she was a young woman who had been engaged to be married, and thought that maybe she would be happy up there. So she moved her picture up there, and once her picture was up there, the feeling in the room had just did a complete 180, to where there was a lot of heaviness and a lot of sorrow in there. And somebody came through one day and pointed at that picture and says that picture was someplace else. And Cheryl says, yes, it was downstairs. That picture needs to go back downstairs. She is not happy here. So Cheryl immediately put her back downstairs where she belonged, in the front room, and the heaviness in the room seemed to have lightened some. So that is Kitty. We also have, there was a haunted chair that is supposedly haunted by a man by the name of Harold, though we're not too sure who Harold is. We have not been able to do that because it is something that she has bought from another location, and who knows how many times that chair has passed hands, and to tell who Harold is and why he would be attached to that. There was also a grandfather clock that was purchased from an estate sale just a few miles down the road from the antique store. And if anybody knows local news, a couple of years ago, a gentleman, his wife had passed away, and they had an estate sale after she passed away, and he sold a lot of the items in the house, and one of them was this grandfather clock. The day after the estate sale ended, the gentleman went missing, and they looked for him. I'd say it was a month and a half to 2 months they looked for this man. And the clock, when she bought it, was in good working condition. It kept time. It chimed. It was absolutely beautiful grandfather clock. They found out that this gentleman had been murdered by his stepchildren because he was selling the house and the property and all the belongings, and he was going to take the money from the sale of everything, and he was going to move in with his sister out of state. And they were worried that they were not going to get a penny of an inheritance, so they killed him. They dismembered his body, and they threw it into a fire pit in the woods behind the house. Unfortunately for them, fortunate for the people looking for this man and to find out what happened to him, everybody knows that a campfire does not get hot enough to completely destroy a body to where you would never know that it existed. Also, he had had some procedures that replaced certain parts of his body, and those replacements are serial numbered, and those numbers are patient specific. So they were able to determine that those remains in the fire pit were his. Now, like I said, that grandfather clock worked perfect when it was bought. The day that they found his remains, the clock stopped working. Now, explain that one. Then there's one more haunted object that we know about. Like I said, these are just objects that have been pointed out to us, is in a small crawl space in the original part of the house is a music box. Now, somebody called me and said that, you know, he's a medium, and he says, I don't normally buy items at a thrift store, but I was drawn to this box, and in this box was a music box. And he says, and I'm getting a lot of information from holding it. There's energy attached to it. There's a spirit attached to it. And it has something to do with a child. And I'm thinking he's giving me initials, and he's giving me an age range, and he's giving me a time frame that this child would have lived in, and he believed that the child died tragically, and that it's possibly the mother's that is attached to it. Now, as he's talking to me again, I'm on my computer and I'm looking it up, and what only thing that I could find, the show was in Albion, so it had to be in that vicinity, was Agnes E. Ross. Her middle name was Esther, and she died on November 22nd, 1966, and she was just shy of her fourth birthday, and she died in a tragic accident. And she's buried at Mount Albion Cemetery, and at the time of her death, she lived in Holly. Okay, so we have a music box. It's got a spirit attached to it. No big deal. He tells me, he says, I cannot bring it into the house because I have children. And the energy is not a good energy, though it is not a evil energy. It's just not a good energy. So I can't bring it in the house. I'm going to give it to you. No. I don't need a haunted music box. I'm not a medium. I don't need it. There's nothing I can get off of it. And he says, I'm going to give it to you so you can do research on it. No. I'm not a medium. I don't need this to do my research. I did my research while he was talking to me. I didn't need it. I have kids. I don't want anything I can't bring into my house. Where am I going to put it? A couple weeks go by, and I pop in at the antique store, and Cheryl goes, somebody brought something for you. I'm like, I want it. not taking it, not having anything to do with this. I do ghost hunt. I don't bring them home with me. If one is already in my house, that's one thing, but I am not bringing one with me on purpose. So she says, what are you going to do with it? I said, I'm not taking it home. And she's like, well, I don't know what you should do with it. I'm like, I got an idea. Going up the stairs to the second floor in the original portion of the house, on the landing is a little door for a crawl space. And I carry it up there and I open up the door and put it into the corner of the door so it's kind of out of sight, out of the way, and close it. Now, that door has never had a problem opening and closing. However, after the music box was placed in there, and it's just a, it's got two kids with a two, like almost a Hummel like, with a two kids with an umbrella, very cute music box, but nothing spectacular about it. I put it in there, and you can close. You could open it and close it before then, but once you put the music box in there, we couldn't get the door to open. The little wooden chuck that was on the outside would turn, but you couldn't pull the door open. And it was like that for the longest time. And occasionally it would let somebody other than Cheryl or I open it. And last year we had a Parafest, and we told the story, history of the house and the ghosts and things like that. And all the teens wanted to see the music box. Where's the music box? And I said, the music box is up in the crawl space. If you guys can open the door, you are more than welcome to see the music box. Couple tries, they get the door open. And the first thing I say is, that's not where I put it. Now, I told you guys just now where I put it, tucked away around the corner, kind of out of the way. When they opened up the door, the music box was facing forward, dead center in the middle of the door, right there looking at them. Closed it, said, nope, it can stay right there. Now you've seen the music box. We have not heard any sound coming from the music box. We haven't had any experiences with the music box. Perhaps, you know, the energy has dissipated from it. Maybe it stayed in around where it was. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it didn't come with the music box from Albion. Who knows? I don't have an explanation of why we've not had any experiences with it. All I know is that music box has moved from where I put it to its current location, and we have left it in that spot. So we talked about the music box, talked about this. So some of the experiences. Now, I alluded at the beginning that the Bushnell House is open. We do events, public ghost hunts, private ghost hunts, and all different kinds of events there just to educate and share the history of the house and allow people to experience some of the spirits that are there. And we know that in the large walk-in closet, there's a spirit, and I believe his name is Anthony. And Anthony is not happy. He chooses to stay there because of circumstances in his life before he passed, that if he chooses to move on, he's not going to be going to heaven. He's going to be going to hell. So he decides that he's going to stay there. And sometimes he makes his presence known, sometimes he doesn't. We have been trying to communicate with Anthony for the last 2 years, and we cannot get any idea as to why he's there, what he did. He doesn't give too many answers. And he doesn't usually come out of his area. That closet is pretty much his domain, and he makes it very well known. We had a public ghost hunt a couple weeks ago, and we were doing a dowsing rod EVP session in the downstairs in the front room where the cabinets are for the silverware and the glasses, and found that he had followed one of the gentlemen in the group downstairs, and he had a session with him on his spirit box. So he didn't really give any answers to any of the questions as to why he's still there, but we made it known that he is become, in lack of a better word, friends with this gentleman named Chris. Now, if you, we do have a house team at the Bushnell House. It started off with myself, and then we have Heather, who is learning how to do investigations and stuff. Wonderful. And then we've added Chris and his wife, Tony, to our house team. And Chris, like I said, Anthony has been more gravitating towards Chris, that maybe because everybody else that's there is a woman, that possibly he feels a lot more comfortable with Chris being that he's a man. Now, we're going to talk that now Anthony could probably have something to do with that 30-year time period, because we have had people come through, and we get a lot of people that are sensitive or mediums coming through, and they will be very forthcoming with the information that they're seeing. And a couple of them had said that they see that at some point in time that illegal alcohol was served there, that possibly prostitution took place there, could possibly have been like a flop house, or rooms were rented by the night for travelers. So that is kind of an idea of what may possibly have happened during those 30 years, and that possibly Anthony, whatever he did during his lifetime, has something to do with that time period. So as you can see, there's a lot of history. We have a lot of spirits going around. We do get spirits that come and go, which could also be because of, you know, travelers and stuff could have possibly used that as a stop on their journey. So there's just so much going on at the house. Like I said, we do public investigations there to share the history of the house and let people experience the spirits there, because that's the major reason why, is we want to keep the history there alive, and we want to be able to share it with everybody. Now, like I said, we do public hunts there, we do private hunts, and then we're having our second Parafest there on October 21st, just in time for Halloween. When we do Halloween, we don't do Halloween creepy, scary Halloween costumes. It's more of taking advantage of the thinning of the veil between the living and the dead, and that being able to communicate more with the spirits that are there. If you're interested in the Parafest, it's October 21st. If you're interested in public a public investigation, our next one coming up is April 1st, and it's from 8 until 10. And you can go right to Tales and Hauntings of the Bushnell House on Facebook or under the Apple Tree Antiques and Gifts with contact information for tickets. And if you're a teen or you have wanted celebrate somebody's birthday, or you want to just get together with some friends and do a private investigation, we do those as well. You would just go on to Tales and Hauntings of the Bushnell House on Facebook, and you can message me for any information on setting that up. Like I said, we do a lot of researching what happens when we get a new person or something happens when we're conversing with the spirits. When new information comes up, we research it to see if we can corroborate that with the history of the Bushnell House. So kind of validating the experiences that we've been having in there. One really cool experience that we had is we talked about a month ago with Henry Hudson Parker, and we talked about his generation and that the World War II and World War I veterans were part of the greatest generations in this country. And we were getting responses, and he would say thank you through the spirit box, and we were talking about, you know, the state of this country, and he goes so sad, and it was just, we were just having a normal conversation with him, and that's what we do, is we try to validate what we're getting as evidence, and we don't put a lot of that out there, but we get really excited when something happens and we're like, oh my God, that fits perfectly, or that makes perfect sense. So, you know, you can come and visit the Bushnell House during the day, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays as the Bushnell House, or it's under the Apple Tree Antiques and Gifts. Unfortunately, the antique portion of the shop, the business is going to be closing at the end of April. However, she's reopening it into something that is so wonderful for anybody that has any kind of spiritual being that they want to nurture and things like that. I'm not at liberty to say everything that's going to happen there, but the paranormal stuff is still going to be happening there. Kitty Woods is still going to be hanging on the wall. That's now her home. And we try our best to make it feel for the spirits are there, that they are welcome, and that we want to coexist with them. So that's the hauntings of the Bushnell House, the history and uses of the house and who possibly is in there. And it's a very cool place. So if you get the chance to visit it during the day, if you're not into doing the spooky stuff at night, you can come during the day. And if you really want to walk around in the dark and talk to the ghosts that are there, hit us up on Facebook and see if we can't get you signed up for an event. So that is the end of the book collector for tonight. Next week, we shall see what we're going to talk about next week. But I really wanted to get out and talk about one of my favorite places. And this has probably, of all the haunted locations that I've been to, this is number one. And number two is historic Palmyra, which the Bushnell House team is going to be at this Saturday night. So that should be really, really cool, especially since all of us, plus our friends Kelly and Maddie that are coming along, I'm the only one that has been there before, so they have no idea what they're in for. That is another great place. And we're going to do a show one night about the ghosts at Historic Palmyra, and you will see what all the buzz is about. So until next week, we will have to say good night and have a nice Easter. And enjoy time with your family and friends. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday.